This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, glad you're with us on the 15th day of December. Just happy Hanukkah, first of all, to those of you. I guess Hanukkah started yesterday. And just 10 days till Christmas, so your shopping time is ticking away on you here as we get near the, I guess, the dead center of the month of December. How about that? We've got a good show for you today. It is, I know, cold outside this morning. You're going to want to heat that car up before you put your butt in the seat. It is cold outside, and we're about to get over that, as Kim mentioned, and Dave Murray. I think it's going to warm up a little bit. So lots of big stories we're following this morning. Kim, I heard about the shooting yesterday, the Brown University and the Bondi Beach shooting. The Rob Reiner thing didn't hit me this morning till I got up. I didn't find out about it till I woke up this morning. So they sometime overnight, they realized that Rob Reiner and his wife got stabbed to death in their home in L.A., and that was a pretty major shock. I think everybody's reacting to that this morning.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the actors and actresses out of Hollywood have already been reacting. And, I mean, you were talking earlier, Mark, how many movies he directed. Movies I didn't even realize he directed. I knew I had seen him before because I didn't watch All in the Family, but I did watch New Girl, and he played, Zooey Deschanel's dad in that series.
Yeah. And didn't stop acting. I think he played Leonardo DiCaprio's father in Wolf of Wall Street. So he continued through the years to be on screen a little bit, but for the most part was just a pretty prolific director over the years. Spinal Tap, When Harry Met Sally, a bunch of shows like that. And we don't know all the details. People Magazine is reporting apparently their child, one of their sons, stabbed them to death in their home in Hollywood this morning. So gathering more information on that. The police have not said that. The media is reporting that this morning, that's kind of how that went down. Very sad situation. We're also talking about, of course, the shootings, one at Brown University. They still don't have a suspect in that case, which seems very odd to me. They thought they had somebody in custody. Like, remember the Charlie Kirk case? They thought they had somebody in custody. It wasn't the right guy. So they're still looking. They've got good surveillance video of this guy shooting at Brown University and then leaving the scene. But apparently the initial reports of who was involved is incorrect.
Yeah, that's very odd, the fact that they have the video. And I thought I even saw a picture of his face. But yeah, no one in custody. And I know we're watching now the video of the guy who took down that shooter at Bondi Beach.
Why didn't he shoot him?
I don't think he had a gun on him.
He did.
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't have a gun on him initially.
He took the gun away from the guy, and he didn't shoot him.
That was my first thought.
Thank you.
Why? Because he's got a bag. You have no idea what's coming out of that.
Maybe it's possible. We're talking about the Australian shooting now. There's a video of a civilian running up behind one of the shooters, tackling him and disarming him, and then pointing the gun at him and not shooting him. I don't get that at all. Maybe he didn't know how to operate the gun. Maybe the guy had clicked the safety on. He didn't know how to turn it off. I don't know. All I know is that there a tremendous number of people injured or killed in Bondi Beach in Australia, one of the most famous beaches over there. I mentioned at the top of the last hour, my son pointed out yesterday when he was in Australia back earlier this year, he visited that beach. In fact, there's a famous video camera that's live on that beach all the time. He called us while standing in front of that camera and texted us the address so we could click on it and look at him while he was talking to us. I guess he could have FaceTimed us, to be honest with you. But it was cooler that we could see him on that camera. But it was this Bondi Beach right here, and he and his friend had to use that walkway where they ended up killing the two shooters in order to go catch an Uber. They had to use that walkway when they left the beach.
Well, they killed the dad, but then the son is in the hospital.
Yeah, in critical condition. I don't know if he's hopefully, I don't know if he survives or not.
Well, there was a guy who survived October 7th, and then he survived, but he was shot and, I mean, really bloody from this shooting. And people, survivors of the Holocaust and kids, as young as 10 years old.
It was a Hanukkah, celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. And they were reporting earlier that, of course, these people were Islamic terrorists, radicalized somehow, a father and son who showed up there, apparently drove some distance to show up there and attack these people at a fairly well-known celebration there on the beach. It's sick. Immediately they promised tighter gun laws in Australia. That was the reaction of the politicians in Australia to what happened. So then yesterday there was the shooting at Brown University. We still have zero idea of what the motive was or who the person was because they haven't arrested anybody yet. Where do you think Pramaya Jayapal, a member of the squad, went as soon as she could get in front of a camera?
And the answer to the majority of Americans is clear. Make it less easy for guns to be in the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
That's immediately where she pivoted. She has no idea what the circumstances are here. And by all reports, the shooter at Brown was using a handgun. A handgun, not a scary black rifle, or she would have mentioned that, was using a modern semi-automatic handgun to shoot up the university there. They know nothing about it, and the left is always the same. It's got to be the gun. It's never the individual. The individual in this case, I'm sure we'll find out, has a long list of mental problems or was somehow radicalized. But we don't know a motive or anything yet. So we're still looking into all those things this morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our friend Hans von Spakovsky. And then, of course, we'll get you a check of business at about 6:35 this morning. Eben Brown's going to call us a little later. He's also covering that Brown University shooting. So we'll get you an update in this 7 o'clock hour. The update from Australia, 38 hurt, 15 dead in that Sydney Hanukkah terror attack in Australia. What a shame. Let's get to our other top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
One of the things that they're examining, as far as potential motive here, obviously that's a big question. Right now we're told there's no indications of any sort of terrorism, but one avenue that they're definitely looking into is whether or not this particular individual had a specific axe to grind against that college, against that school.
Yep, again, there's the story Evan's going to be covering a little later. They still don't have a suspect. They had somebody, and they have now released that individual.
Likewise in Australia, as you know, there was a terrible attack. 11 dead, 29 badly wounded. And that was an anti-Semitic attack, obviously. And I just want to pay my respects to everybody.
Yeah, how horrible. The police chief over there in Australia was quoted as saying diversity is our strength in light of what had just happened in Australia. So in some cases, you cannot save these countries from themselves.
I was here with my family. It was a Hanukkah celebration. There were hundreds of people. There were children. There were elderly. Families enjoying themselves, children, kids, at a festival, playing, and then all of a sudden it's absolute chaos. There's guns, fire everywhere, people ducking. It was absolute chaos.
Yep, one of the survivors there in the Australia attack talking to the media yesterday.
I mean, marching people in uniforms in automatic weapons through our major cities, where they're mostly just stopping people for being black and brown, not because they're actually undocumented or have committed crimes.
Unbelievable. J.B. Pritzker, we wonder why our ICE officers are targeted. It's because of idiotic, ignorant statements like that from the governor in the state of Illinois. Seriously. That's the statement he made yesterday with a straight face, that we've got uniformed, armed. Well, most, if you're in a police department, you're uniformed and you're armed. Imagine that. Law enforcement that's uniformed and armed, marching through the streets. Did he say jackbooted thugs? I didn't hear that, but he insinuated it. Only grabbing people because of the color of their skin. So they're clearly racist. That's what they're doing. All of those are, it's a lie. It's a lie. And it inflames the idiots out there that buy it hook, line, and sinker. I'm surprised that I didn't see that bite on my friend's page, who the radical crazy leftist who just moved to Chicago and participates in every one of these protests that goes on. They buy this stuff hook, line, and sinker. In the same interview, J.B. Pritzker, presidential candidate for 2028, started talking about his plans for amnesty, just so you know. That's what's coming next. Where's the Gang of Eight when we don't need them, for sure? All right, quick break. We'll get to Hans von Spakovsky coming up here at about 6:20. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tune.
Hans von Spakovsky, you know, the former emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Well, Hans, welcome in on a Monday morning, my friend. How are you?
Mark, I'm doing fine, although very, very cold in Washington, D.C., like in other parts of the country.
Does that slow down the money being spent in Washington, by the way? Does that freeze funds?
Unfortunately not. I wish it did.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So I guess the big thing we're expecting right now legally is a decision on these tariffs. Is that right? I mean, I saw where Politico had a big article this weekend. They've accused the Trump administration of racing to finalize tariff payments to hamstring any possible refunds.
Yeah, I guess they don't want, as you know, the administration is talking about refunds to the American people.
Yeah.
And gosh, Democrats and others certainly would not like the American people to get any refunds from the Trump administration. So, yeah, I'm sure they are doing that. Now, the Supreme Court basically is now in a pause. You know, they had their last arguments of the year last week, very important cases, and they won't start up again until mid-January, when they're going to have the transgender athlete cases up, oral arguments before them. So for the moment, you know, they're out on Christmas break.
Yeah, I wondered about that. So if there is a tariff decision, it will not be until January sometime.
Look, they could surprise all of us, and yeah, I guess we could get it this week, the week before the Christmas holiday. But I guess I would be surprised. Maybe I will be, but I don't think we're going to get it before the end of the year. But like I said, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, the trans issue you were talking about, that decision that they're expected to discuss next year and make some ruling on, it just seems like that's
right.
They're never going to, it's one thing after the next. Like it's almost like for each individual area, they're going to have to debate that.
Well, they've got they've got at least two decisions up before them, but that decision is going to affect many different states, because as you know, about two dozen states passed similar statutes to the West Virginia statute, for example, that's up before them. So, yeah, some states particularly may try to fight it if it goes the wrong way. But if it goes the correct way, then I think all those state statutes are going to survive.
Yeah, this decision then, because again we're waiting again probably till January for the president, the decision on the president's power to fire people on like the FTC and places like that. I guess the would that go for the Fed chairman as well? I don't know.
The Fed chairman case seems to be in a different category because the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is weird. You know, it's this federally chartered corporation, whereas all the other commissioners he's fired at, like the Federal Trade Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, those are actual government agencies. And that's the case that was argued last week, was Rebecca Slaughter, who he had fired from the Federal Trade Commission. If I was a betting man and I was in Las Vegas, I would bet that Trump's going to win that case.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so. I hope you're right. Hans von Spakovsky, our guest. Hans, earlier I had a story out of Arizona with a news report down there that they've identified 218,000 voters on the rolls who did not prove their citizenship when they signed up. And first they said there were only 98,000. Now they've doubled that to 218,000. But while they will reach out to them and try to clear it up, they're not going to do it before the next election cycle. So in other words, if there is fraud going on, we don't care enough to change it before it impacts yet another election.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Why would, if you know it's a problem now?
Bizarre. Yeah. Look, the election's not till November. Yeah, they've got primaries and things like that, but the general election is almost a year from now, and why they wouldn't do that, I think there's no justification for them not immediately starting to work on this.
I have asked several secretaries of state that I've spoken to here in Missouri over the years, if we have to use E-Verify for employers, why can't we use it when you register to vote? Can you think of a reason?
No. And in fact, that is a very, very good question. And, you know, for folks who don't know, E-Verify is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. DHS has a special office set up just to handle those calls from employers and give them instant feedback. So why can't a state election officials use it? I don't know. Another one of those questions that why does the government operate that way?
Yeah, it seems a little intentional. It certainly does. Kim was telling me a story this morning you may not have heard yet, out of New York City, where the city council is about to vote on a plan that would force residential landlords that own buildings in New York City would have to offer them first to a nonprofit before they could sell them on the open market. And they think Mom Donnie will sign off on it.
And apparently it's already a thing in Washington, D.C. or something similar.
Have you heard of that?
I had not heard of that, but I can't say it surprises me, since he wants to turn New York into Moscow on the Hudson.
It's true. I would think, I don't know how in the world that could be legal, that you could tell somebody who they could sell their property to. I mean, it's just insane to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, by the way, so many of these nonprofits, the people who actually work for them, particularly the senior officials, many of them have huge salaries that they shouldn't if they're really a nonprofit. And I have no doubt this will cause all kinds of scams to get set up. Scam and con nonprofits.
We'll wait and uncover those next year. Hans, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, great having you on this morning. Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation this morning. Heritage.org to read more of Hans' thoughts on things. Coming up, we'll get a check of business with Nicole Murray, and then we'll get to other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us here. I just want to give a shout out to my friends on the Annie Fry Show because they did some good work on Friday, and I went out there to Ruler Foods in St. Charles and kind of stopped by to see them, and they did a fantastic job. I think they raised just shy of $10,000, something like that. Of course, they were doing it for the food bank, St. Louis Area Food Bank. Those folks were out there, and they did a fantastic job. It's gotten bigger every year since they started in 2022, and people were welcomed. A lot of my listeners showed up. A lot of Annie's listeners showed up just to drop off food or cash donations, and they were taking donations online. So then they took the cash that they collected, and they did a shopping spree through Ruler Foods. They let Wiggins run his cart through there and fill it up with stuff, raking stuff off shelves into the carts. They gave him like 5 minutes or something to do this anyway. All the money goes to food to support the St. Louis Area Food Bank. And wow, congratulations to them. That is fantastic. Close to 10 grand that they gathered by the end of her show on Friday afternoon. Those are online donations and in-person donations. A lot of great people showed up out there.
Which is also cool because you hear so many people saying how awful the economy is right now, and clearly people are still wanting to be very generous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, congratulations to them. Job well done. Glad I was able to get out there and say hello to a bunch of people and help them out in whatever way we could on Friday. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. All right, great Monday morning to you, Nicole Murray. Is it nice and toasty and warm up there in New Jersey?
No, I'm cold. I have some choice words that I'm not allowed to say over the air, but I'm cold.
You're freezing.
Freezing. Still wearing my winter jacket in studio.
Apparently, this is all going to get a little better here between now and at least the new year. They said this polar vortex is lifting, and we're going to be back in the 40s and 50s, which will be like a heat wave.
Sure. Why not?
It'll be like short sleeve weather. Come on.
If it's not warm enough for me to be poolside with a mojito, it's not warm enough. So
I think you need to look for a job in Florida.
Ooh,
I could never live in Florida. It's too swampy.
It's too slow. It's too slow.
Swampy.
It's so hot and humid. The humidity is really bad. I mean, people are willing to live in Arizona because at least it's a dry heat. Even though it gets to, 115 degrees, it's not. You don't walk out and just feel so gross and blech.
Wow.
Blech.
Wow.
It's the only way I can describe
it. Here's the ultimate thing for me. I love when I hear that, of course, rich people like Sean Hannity moved to Florida, and he now does all of his broadcast remotely down there. He just lives in Florida and does his show and then, goes about his business. So he can go play golf or do whatever he wants to. That'd be great. All year long.
All year long.
Talk to Compass about that in your next negotiation and tell him you want to broadcast remotely from Florida where you can have mojitos by the pool all day long.
And I heard mojitos are something company covered by the company, right?
I don't know.
Let us know how that conversation goes, Nicole.
A girl can dream.
There you go. What's going on?
Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 245. The NASDAQ down 398. The S&P 500 down 73. Edward Jones says its employees will be heading to the office at least 4 days a week starting in June. Employees currently must trek to the office at least 3 times a week if they live within a commutable distance from home office locations, including St. Louis and Tempe, Arizona. That requirement was implemented last January. Bloomberg News reports software company ServiceNow is in advanced talks to buy cybersecurity startup Armis, which was last valued at $6.1 billion. The deal, which could reach $7 billion in value, would be ServiceNow's largest acquisition. Sources say the acquisition could be announced as soon as this week, but could still fall apart. iRobot, the maker of the Roomba vacuum cleaner, has filed for bankruptcy protection, saying that it would go private after being bought by Pikia Robotics, its primary manufacturer. iRobot generated about $682 million in total revenue in 2024. Artificial intelligence is where it's at this holiday season. Salesforce predicts AI could drive $263 billion in global holiday sales this year, representing 21% of all holiday orders. Companies like Walmart and Target are overhauling their AI strategies to ensure they're meeting consumers where they're shopping. Zootopia 2 regained the number one spot at the domestic box office with just over $26 million in its third weekend of release. The Walt Disney animated sequel also became the year's second film to gross $1 billion worldwide. And finally, soccer fans have accused FIFA of monumental betrayal after latest prices for World Cup tickets began to circulate. The lowest price for the final was roughly $4,100, the highest just over $8,600.
Wow.
Who has that money?
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, I'm not a soccer fan, so I guess I wouldn't be the one searching for those tickets. But I did hear somebody describe it the other day as however many matches there are going to be in this thing, it's going to be the equivalent of like 35 Super Bowls. Like each one will be so packed, then the demand would obviously drive up prices for those tickets, right?
I know I don't have the most popular opinion on this, and this comes from Papa Murray, that he's a huge sports fan, whether it be the Super Bowl or, you know, the World Cup. It's still, you're just talking about a match, a soccer match, a football match, even concerts. They should not go that high.
Wow.
So take that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess if it's the, when's the last time the World Cup was held in America? I don't know. I guess if you think this is your opportunity to see it, You pay for it, right?
Yeah, I just don't care.
I'm paying
that much.
A lot more for rock concerts these days than I ever thought I would. I can tell you that.
I mean, I get that.
Maybe
the
last
job,
time
but...
I see them.
Oh, my. Mark goes up with the whole, it's their last tour ever.
It might be.
And it never is.
It will be someday. I can argue that, right?
You can argue that, but still, you're talking about a concert. You're talking about a soccer game.
A couple of $100. It's okay. I wouldn't spend $4,000. Sure.
I think even a couple hundred is questionable, but it's fair. Like at least, you know, every Joe Schmo could pretty much afford that if they plan for it in ahead of time. But $8,000, that's
pricey.
I don't know,
stuff.
Man. My Scrooge is coming out.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you very
much.
All right.
Appreciate that. Thank you. So Michael comes home and he goes, honey, I need to go see this soccer match
that's coming to town. No.
But not every ticket is that much.
But the lowest one she said was over $4,000.
No way.
Is that not what I just heard?
Maybe I misunderstood.
I'm pretty sure the lowest.
Not the least. Is that for like a package?
I don't know if it's a package. I thought that's what she said.
And then
so
it starts around $4,000 and goes up to close to $8,000.
Woo!
They might not even score. And it, like, no.
Yeah. That is very possible.
This just sounds terrible. Why don't you get tickets, Mark, to go to the Pride match between Iran and, what was it, Egypt? They're thrilled about that game. You're trying to look up ticket prices, aren't you?
I am.
The lowest
was
$4,100.
But that's not true because I think this must be, that must be the, like, top range because I'm seeing tickets here from $300.
Maybe you're sitting right behind a pole where you can't even see the actual match. Your nose is literally bleeding.
Well, and it goes up like East Rutherford, New Jersey, France versus Senegal on June 16th from $592. Saudi Arabia versus Uruguay, June 15th from $280.
What about that Pride match?
Remember I don't know.
With Iran?
Well, there's so many of them. I'd have to find the one.
I wonder
from,
if that's what it is, if it's different locations. Because
yeah, my guess
nobody
is.
Nobody wants to pay to go to New Jersey.
And probably for specific teams, right? Like people know which teams are the favorites. Like here's a Mexico versus South Korea match in JAL? $1,658. So there's certainly high ticket prices on here, but I'm not seeing. And that's TickPick. That's a secondary site for tickets.
It's true what Lisa's saying on Facebook. Prices reflect what people will pay. Absolutely. And that's why it surprises me so much when these ticket prices go so high.
After the latest phase of ticket sales, it says might cost them more than they expected, with the ticket for the final costing more than $4,000. So these are tickets, once it's all down to like the final couple of games, then that's where people are complaining about how much it's going to cost.
That would make much more sense.
That would be like the Super Bowl, the final game or two. Should England reach the final, the cheapest ticket most fans could find would be $4,185, the most expensive $8,680.
I better get a steak dinner brought to my chair. I don't even like caviar. I guess I've never had it, but I better get caviar and a filet mignon dinner.
But
for that price.
But the preliminary matches are not that expensive. They're not $4,000. They may cost you a couple of hundred.
I guess that's reasonable. I still wouldn't pay it. Like you said, I'm not a big soccer fan either.
Is it reasonable?
Right.
Well, if for a World Cup match, it is, right?
Yeah, I guess.
People will pay that, though, for a, you know, well, when the...
For Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
They paid more than that for a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
Come on. Somebody did.
That's insane.
I know. Exactly. Coming up, we'll get to in other news. And I thought one of the best things that happened this weekend was the Heisman Award winner. We're going to talk about his speech, which was supposedly one of the best ever. We're going to get to all that and more for you coming up.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
All right, I was very excited on Saturday night. I was with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law and the kids. And when it came time for the Heisman Trophy to be announced, everybody had their phones out watching it live because they were all so interested in who they didn't want to get it. And the kid that did win was the favorite, Fernando Mendoza. He's the quarterback for the University of Indiana, who we've talked about a lot. They're 12-0, largely because of how good this kid is at quarterback, and of course their defense and their offensive line and all that stuff. He's the one that leads every interview he does with "I give praise and glory to God," or "I couldn't do this." And he gave what was described as one of the better speeches in Heisman history. I thought it was fantastic. Play part of that for cut number two, please.
First, I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to chase a dream that once felt the world away. Standing here tonight, holding this bad boy, representing Indiana University, still doesn't feel real.
He said, Kim, "I was never a highly rated prospect, but I had a lot of people that believed in me." He said, "For every kid out there, I am you. If you aren't, you know, you're not one of the kids that they're believing in, just you have to have faith in yourself, and then you have to surround yourself with people that believe in you, and you can do it too."
I love that.
I think it was a fantastic speech.
Yeah, that guy just seems like he's just a quality guy.
Oh, yeah.
So happy for him. Much deserved. Hey, one of my favorite Christmas movies is The Grinch. Also happens to be my son Easton's favorite movie, so we've watched it like 15 times. Started watching it last night.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey, that version is the one I'm talking about. And he's talked about how difficult it was to sit in the chair for 8 hours to get all that makeup on. But now we've realized it was so bad. He was actually having daily panic attacks. Thought about giving back his $20 million salary because he couldn't even endure it. Said that he had, because of the nose, the makeup that they'd put on for The Grinch, he couldn't even breathe out of his nose. So he had to breathe through his mouth. The contacts covered his entire eye. So he had like a tiny little bit tunnel vision he could look through, so we had a hard time seeing. He had those really hairy 10-inch long fingers. He was like, "I couldn't even touch my face, couldn't do anything, couldn't scratch myself." He said that what they ended up doing was they actually brought in some guy who trains people in the military on how to endure torture.
Oh my God.
And that's who ended up helping him get through that. Like, for example, they said pinch himself in the leg as hard as he can to change patterns. If there's a TV on, when you start to spiral, turn it off, turn the radio on, smoke cigarettes. So he said that there's actually pictures of him sitting in the makeup chair as the Grinch, and he'd have one of those long cigarette holders because he said that the yak hair that he had for the Grinch was so flammable that he had to have the cigarette holder because he was worried the hair would catch fire.
That was one of his most iconic roles. There's no doubt about it.
So
what,
worth
what
it.
What will I wear? I love that. I love that movie.
If I can't find anything nice to wear, then I'm not going.
Sue, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If I ask you, what does the front of the Philadelphia Art Museum look like? What would you tell me?
I cannot tell you.
Thank you. But it is the most iconic scene in Rocky when he is jogging and he runs up the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum.
You know the scene,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the statue of him used to stand there, and years ago, the city of Philadelphia removed it. And they moved it into a museum somewhere where you couldn't see. Everybody who goes to Philadelphia, most people don't care about the Philadelphia Art Museum. They don't even know what the hell it looks like. But they did want to see the Rocky statue. So apparently, they've now voted to put it back. They're going to put the Rocky statue back in front of the Philadelphia Art Museum. And some of the kind of stodgy, stuck-up people are like, we have all of these masters in there, and you want to put up this cheap piece of, you know, sculpture that was made in 1980. And everybody's like, yeah, but more people know about that than even know that you exist.
Well, I don't think I'd look at it that way if I were them. I think I would just say, because I love an art museum. Yeah. But I would just say it's a draw.
It's a draw.
That's exactly right.
People get, they'll come to see that and maybe learn a little bit about art. It's a win, I think.
Maybe they'll pay the price of admission to get in. I don't know.
Well, what's also a win is if you're stressed out during the holidays, which a lot of us tend to be with everything going on, they're saying that singing, caroling, for example, can really, really help your emotional state. That improves your health, they say, by singing with others.
Even if you're bad?
Well,
I was going to say, Mark, that's a solid question, because I would scare people.
You know, maybe the people who have to listen to you singing,
actually
is bad for your health, but it doesn't really matter if you're terrible, because a lot of us think that we sound good, right? We sing in the shower, and we think we sound fantastic.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, just beauty's in the eye of the beholder, they say.
Looking at the person opening the door, watching you, knowing they're silently judging you.
It's like Elf.
You can't hit the
Elf,
high notes.
Buddy the Elf says that. Singing, what is it? Singing in public for all to hear. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
That's right. That's Zooey Deschanel says that near the end there,
that's
right?
That's right.
You bet. All right. Dick Van Dyke is 100 years old.
Wow.
And I saw an interview with him yesterday where he said that he wasn't sure what to attribute his longevity to, except for the fact that he's never harbored anger at anyone. He goes, my dad did, and he died at 78, but I didn't, and I lived to 100.
Wow.
So he thinks the answer is, you know, he said, I certainly had people and things I disagreed with over the years, but I never got angry, and I never felt hatred toward people. So
I think that's a huge, huge part of it.
He's still kicking with that positive attitude. And he says he's got a lame leg, but he still tries to dance every once in a while.
Okay, did you hear this, that his wife brought out a flash mob that danced for him to a combination of all his songs over the years? I'm dying to see it. I'm looking for it on the internet this morning.
We'll have to look.
Isn't that great?
We will have to look for that. I'd love to
compilation,
see that
compilation,
well.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay, all right. Coming up, we're going to get to Eben Brown, by the way, with Fox News Radio. He's got more on that shooting up at Brown University. And our friend Dan Buck joins us at 7:35, but the buck stops here. We'll be
get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.